This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. The day after the National Football League season ended, at least a half dozen head coaches, or close to that, were fired. But the Falcons, despite a record of 4 wins and 12 losses, are apparently staying with Coach Mike Smith, at least for now, and they have already extended the contract of defensive coordinator Mike Nolan. The Falcons ended their season with a mistake-filled 21-20 home loss to the Carolina Panthers. Jeff Schultz is a sports columnist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He's followed the Falcons throughout the year, and he's been with us before. Jeff, welcome back.
Thank you.
Last year, the Falcons came within a play of going to the Super Bowl. This year, they finished last in their division. Now, normally, that kind of performance costs at least some jobs, but do you think that the Falcons bosses, like owner Arthur Blank, are sticking with Mike Smith and at least most of his staff because of the improvement the Falcons had shown up until this year?
I think there's a couple factors here, Dennis. You know, midseason I wrote a column saying, you know, the one thing you have to look at if you're the owner or the general manager is not just whether you're losing, but how the team is playing and whether they seem to be paying attention to their coach and playing hard. And honestly, at the time I wrote that, they weren't. I thought there were many games where players seemed to be floating in and out. And that was, to me, the most alarming thing, not just that they were losing, but they were losing. They were losing big. They got blown out in a couple of big games at Carolina, home against Seattle, and a couple other games. But they actually did play better and played harder down the stretch, notwithstanding all the mistakes they made in their last game and a couple other games. And I think because of that, any chance that Mike Smith might lose his job sort of went away. Now, I do think there's still a possibility, maybe even a good possibility, that a couple members of his staff might lose their jobs, probably position coaches, say the offensive or defensive line. But down the last few weeks of the season, I really did not believe Mike Smith would lose his job, nor did I think either of his two coordinators would lose their jobs.
How much of the examination, though, shifts from Mike Smith to general manager Thomas Dimitroff for some of the moves that were either made or not made between last season and this one?
Well, I think significant. Now, Mike Smith and Thomas Dimitroff are they do have a pretty strong partnership. They do make a lot of personnel decisions together, unlike a lot of teams. But, I mean, ultimately, Thomas Dimitroff does make the final call on draft picks and free agents and who stays and who goes. And they made some mistakes, let's face it, going into the season. They cut a couple of veterans, particularly along the offensive line. I think that backfired. There were a couple of veterans on the defensive side they chose not to bring back, John Abraham and Brent Grimes, who went on to have Pro Bowl seasons with other teams. So I think Thomas Dimitroff and Mike Smith both have to admit, and I would like to see them admit it publicly, that they miscalculated and made some mistakes in terms of personnel. Now, all that said, Dennis, we're never really going to know how much better this team would have been if they didn't have some injuries. You can't control Julio Jones breaking his foot and Roddy White getting injured in the preseason and losing a couple guys on the defensive side of the ball. Steven Jackson never really being what they thought he was going to be, a running back, because he got hurt early in the year. If all those guys had stayed healthy, even with their personnel mistakes, they would have been a significantly better team. Whether they would have made the playoffs or not, we'll never know. They probably would have. But when you lost all the guys you lost, the problem is it exposed the weaknesses on the team. And those are weaknesses that they're going to have to shore up.
Yeah, and you kind of anticipated my next question, is that the Falcons lost 12 games, true, but 5 of those defeats were close ones by margins of 4 points or fewer, and there are a couple of ways of looking at that. One is, okay, you're losing to teams you could beat. This is a terrible trend. Or you could look at it and say, kind of as you were, if the injury situation had been better and if maybe a few personnel decisions had been better, this could still be a very solid team and it doesn't need to be blown up over the offseason to get better. Which approach do you think is the right one?
Well, I don't think it needs to be blown up. But, I mean, you know, getting back to what you said, I sort of like to say, okay, great, so we were just good enough to lose. Is that what you're saying? You know, this is the NFL, and the majority of the games are won and lost by 6 points or less. So the fact that they the Falcons lost a lot of close games. I believe, like you said, it was 5 by 4 points or less. That is significant, and, you know, that is one or two plays a game. The problem is I think every team can play that game, and to Coach Mike Smith's credit, after the loss on Sunday, he said that's really no excuse, and he's right. You have to play better and get the players who can play better and coach better to win those two or three plays, that make the difference in the games. Because let's face it, the year before, when the Falcons came to within one play of going to the Super Bowl, as he said, they won a lot of those close games. And those games easily could have backfired and they could have lost and never made it to the NFC Championship. So that's really the case every year. The bottom line is they just have to get better.
In order to get better, though, they have to draft well, and they will have a very high-round draft choice, at least to start off with. They can also go via free agency. But looking at how much they have to spend, do they have a lot of room under the NFL's salary cap?
Well, I think that's going to depend on which of their players they choose to re-sign, which veterans they choose to not bring back who are under contract currently. I do think they're going to have some room. And I think they're going to need to make at least two significant additions to the team, one on the offensive line, preferably a tackle, either a left tackle or right tackle, but preferably a left tackle. And then one on defense, they're going to have to get someone who can rush the passer. Chances are one of those two players will come in the draft, and one of those two players will come in free agency. I do think they're going to have some room. Like I said, there's really not a lot of high-profile veterans that they need to keep in terms of those whose contracts are up. So they're going to have some space. My guess is they let Asante Samuel go, a defensive back. That will give them a little more room. The Matt Ryan contract is all done. Everybody else is really under contract. Roddy White is probably going to have his contract extended, but that will actually lower his salary cap number. I won't get into all the minutia, but basically... That will give the team a little more space. So I think they're going to be in decent shape salary cap wise, but it sort of remains to be seen in terms of which players they choose to keep and which they choose to let go.
And the other part of improving one's chances of having a winning season is you have to start by winning in your division. And the NFC
right.
South, where the Falcons are, has been very strong this year, at least with two teams, the New Orleans Saints sort of returning to being the Saints of old, and the Carolina Panthers putting all of this young talent together all of a sudden. Can the Falcons do better in a hurry in their division next year?
I think so. You know, they have lost a lot of games to the Saints, but those games tend to be close every year. They were close this year. I mean, both games against the Saints really came down to the end this year. The Carolina Panthers, they just lost 2 by 1 point. The one ugly game was the one up in Charlotte. I think Carolina's for real. I think Cam Newton has really come a long way. Their defense is very good. They're young and they're hungry. And regardless of how far they go in the playoffs this year, I think they're going to be back next year. Now, you know, we could have a situation, because I don't think the Saints are going to fall off that dramatically, where if the Falcons get better, there could be three playoff teams coming out of the NFC South. I think the division potentially could be that good. But it's going to be a very strong and competitive division next year, assuming the Falcons get better, which I think they will.
Now, the Falcons may have to compete with those teams for those free agents that we talked about.
You know, it's interesting because everybody perceived the Falcons being one or two players away from going to the Super Bowl last year. And consequently, Steven Jackson, the running back from St. Louis, and OCU Manure, the defensive ends, New York Giants, were both free agents, and they both chose the Falcons to sign with as free agents because they both perceived the Falcons as being a potential Super Bowl team. Obviously, that didn't happen. So a lot of it is, you know, where do players want to go? Can they win? But a lot of it also is based on the salary cap. And you're going to have some guys who will just go where the most money is, and you're going to have other guys, really like Jackson and Manure, are going to go not just where they can get money, but where they think they can win a Super Bowl. And that's really the case every year. I think the Falcons will still be perceived as a desirable location, but obviously if a lesser team is offering twice as much money, I think most people, including you and me, probably would go to a lesser team for twice as much money.
Arthur Blank and the front office certainly have an eye on the new Falcons stadium now that the approvals are pretty much done. Is there extra pressure given the performance this year to put together over the next few years a real contending team to put in that new stadium?
I would say in 2 years, I think there's something to what you're saying. You don't want to be 4-12 the year before you're moving into a new building. Now, that said, going 4-12 this year does put some pressure on Arthur Blank and the marketing people a little bit, because they would have liked to, I'm sure by now, announce their price structure for the new tickets and announce how much personal seat licenses are going to be. This is not really an opportune time to announce that right now because you're coming off a bad year. You don't want to start telling fans, okay, by the way, our season tickets in our new stadium, they're going to go up. You know, and also, you're going to have to pay $10,000 just for the right to buy tickets. So I would say, yes, there is pressure next year. Not as great as there will be in 2 years, but I do think there is significant pressure next year from the standpoint of the personal seat licenses.
So bottom line, this was an awful year, really, especially by the expectations that the Falcons had. But it sounds like you're saying it's not time to push the panic button. It's time to get down to work.
I don't think it's time to push the panic button. I still think there's enormous amount of talent on this team. Obviously, you lose Tony Gonzalez, who really is retiring this time. But you still have Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, Roddy White, and Steven Jackson. You're still going to have great offensive pieces. And you still have a couple pretty good players on defense. So I still think you could be pretty good. But there is pressure going into next year. And you know what, getting back to Mike Smith, I think because he made the playoffs four of his first 5 years in the league, you sort of are in a position where you can write 4-12 off as an aberration, but you can't do that next year. I think you have to make the playoffs next year. I'm not going to see on your radio station that if he loses, if they don't make the playoffs, he gets fired. But I would just say that there is significant pressure, particularly when you work for a high-demanding owner like Arthur Blank. I don't think he's going to put up with consecutive losing seasons or consecutive non-playoff years.
But at least he doesn't seem to be an intrusive owner along the lines of a Jerry Jones.
Well, he's certainly less intrusive. I would say this. I mean, I don't think there's any question that Arthur Blank is talking to Thomas Dimitroff and Mike Smith almost every day, maybe. But the difference between Arthur Blank and Jerry Jones is Jerry legitimately is the Dallas Cowboys general manager. He is making all the personnel decisions, and he doesn't hide that fact.
Yeah.
I don't think Arthur has any interest in doing that, but he is a very involved, very passionate, concerned, and emotional owner, and so he might be on the phone almost every day to his general manager saying, why aren't we winning?
Jeff Schultz, sports columnist for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and AJC.com. Jeff, thanks so much for being with us again. We appreciate it. And you're down in Jacksonville for the Gator Bowl, where the Georgia Bulldogs are playing. Hope that turns out well.
Thank you, Dennis. Anytime.